Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline, not just Loveline, the best of Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Don't bother calling because you ain't going to get us. So enjoy a little of the best of Loveline. Love, best of Loveline. Best of Loveline. Best of Loveline. Best of Loveline. Best, best of Love. A little of the best of Loveline. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone yes. number 1-800-LV-191. The Black Eyed Peas are here tonight. Fergie and Taboo are in here. We have
did a switcheroo.
We did a little switcheroo. Hey. Anderson, maybe you can play the Taboo theme song, which is this. Now, you.
Yes.
You classic, know this song? Classic. It's a classic. Classic. Yeah. This yeah. song is in Taboo, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I. You know? Do you know Taboo?
Yes. I've been a big fan of Taboo. I've been a big fan of many adult films.
Oh, really?
Since I was young, you know, it taught me a lot about my manhood. Yeah.
This you guys can cover this.
You know it as quite a theme song
my
for theme. You.
Quite
basically.
A theme song.
Yeah.
You know,
what's that? You're on.
Oh, all right.
We're live.
Well, let's pot down the best of then and get to the worst of, which is us
real
live. Real Loveline.
Sorry about that.
A little technical difficulty there. Here's how I am with the technical difficulty.
Bravo.
At first, I'd like it fixed. Mm-hmm. But at second thought, let's ride this train all the way home.
I know
that's
where you're at.
That's the way
at.
I think. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. This is not the best of. This is live. You know how you know it's live? I wouldn't do that if it was the best of. That wouldn't make the best of.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Punching the mic that way?
I could do this,
the glasses. Yeah, Drew rubs his glasses. You wouldn't hear that on the best of.
There's this.
Bang the mug on there. Yeah, it's not the kind of thing you're going to hear on the best of. It just wouldn't make the cut.
However, next time we do a best of, we will do all that.
That's right. 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, Dustin and Riley here tonight from Thrice. Back again.
We also would not be on the best of.
Yes.
Well, let me... No, that's very modest of you, but I'll tell you the thing about the best of it. It's weighed equally. Mm-hmm. You make a good showing tonight. You will be on the best of. Mm-hmm. Yes, Drew?
Yes, sir.
No. Visu, name of the new CD, which is coming out tomorrow. That is Tuesday. Also, the band is going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow. And then going over to Tower on Sunset and doing a signing tomorrow at 10 p.m. And I'm guessing... Is that, well, no, if the CDs are released on Tuesdays, right?
Yeah.
And
usually you do the 12 o'clock, like
right.
We would be signing in 2 hours.
Right.
But I don't know why we're not.
Yeah.
We did a signing earlier today, but the kids couldn't have the CD. They can only have the booklet. It was
right.
a very confusing situation, and
yeah.
I didn't understand it.
Well, it was raining today anyway,
whoa.
So you'll want to do it tomorrow when the clouds have
was
parted.
That not
yes?
weird rain?
Yeah,
ugh.
But good.
Oh,
but good and weird, but nice.
Wow.
Biblical, but nice. I like it. I realize something is better than nothing.
Yes, yes.
I would rather have, you know, a bad
action.
TV than the TV turned off. You
yeah.
know, and I'd rather see a bad TV show than not have it plugged in.
Yeah.
That's sort of what the weather's like for me. I want something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even sort of
wind.
Not adverse to things like earthquakes and natural disasters and stuff. It just
it stirs it up a little bit.
Yeah, literally and figuratively, but it gives you sort of something to do. I mean, I'm just...
What
I'm
about
just,
heat?
I don't like heat.
That's not...
No.
That doesn't count as something.
It goes the other way.
No, that's a vacuum.
Okay.
That's intense nothing.
I would agree with that.
That's like being punished with nothingness. Like being beaten with an invisible bat. More painful, I would argue.
You can't respond to it.
You can't sue it.
Yeah.
Can you sue the sun?
Mm, somebody would.
Soon.
Coming soon.
So anyway, Thrice is, like I said, going to be on Kimmel tomorrow night. You want to watch that. And then also going to go out on tour with My Chemical Romance, doing dates starting later on this week. Drew is on the Too Late show tonight on Comedy Central
for a millisecond.
Yeah, but
did he hurt himself?
Did a yeoman's job. Steve-O made his triumphant return to my late night TV show on Comedy Central.
I did some
crazy things.
And I did everything I could to stay until the stunt, because the way he described it, I envisioned myself intubating him, putting IVs in, and so I thought, this is going to be bad.
Yeah.
And when he leaped off your couch onto the burning table set for four with spaghetti,
mm-hmm.
I thought, here we go. Mm. Here we go.
Yeah. Would have been nice if that hurt him, because he went on to do more damage.
Oh, he broke the table. I saw that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Drew, don't step on it, buddy.
Oh, you got to watch to see what happens.
Oh. Do they? Or they can just close their eyes and listen to you paint a very vivid picture of what went on in my TV show tonight.
Could have been the spaghetti table.
Yes, it could have been, but I don't think it was. So Steve's triumphant return, and then, of course, too late. Not too late, the Adam Carolla Project on TLC tonight, if you're listening tomorrow, because it's Tuesday nights.
I was at USC today, and I promised to mention that a great experience over there.
Well, what'd you do over there?
Give a talk. From return home.
Who'd you talk to?
Medical students. A couple students.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two or three.
Mm-hmm. All right. 3B?
No.
Yeah, you talked to the one that chucked her baby in the trash?
Smart.
I did not talk to the one, nor did I talk about the one that chucked her baby in the trash.
Who chucked her baby in the trash?
Some student that...
student?
Mm-hmm, she's incarcerated now, probably in the jail ward at the hospital.
Really?
Yeah.
SC student.
Apparently.
Yeah. The neighborhood's right, but the college student part just doesn't add up.
Right.
They
were all abuzz about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the part where they say, like... Well, first off, you know, I understand abandoning your child, but why do they have to go into the dumpster all the time? What, you know what I mean? How about a basket and put it on the steps of the church, or down the Nile, put it in the wicker basket, let it float down the river? Really, the dumpster?
Give it a chance.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess what I'm saying is the baby alive?
I don't know. I don't think so.
If you want the baby's
dead. Thank you, Anderson.
Good. If you want to, well, I mean, good. No, good reporting.
Yeah,
by Anderson,
of course.
Not
yeah.
good.
The no, baby's no, I know dead. What you mean. Sure.
What?
Good.
Here's what I'm saying. If you want to kill your baby, then kill it and bury it. You know what I mean? Or if you then want the baby to live, you just don't want to raise the baby, then set it on the stairs of a schoolhouse. But why just the sort of in-between move? You know, that dumpster seems sort of in-between.
Because usually those are people who are psychotic or have really serious mental health stuff. And mm-hmm. They're just flailing.
Mm-hmm.
There's food in a lot of the dumpsters, though.
Oh, Anderson. Please. I'm never going to dignify that with a chuckle. All right. You ready to go to some phones here?
Yeah.
Megan?
Hi.
22?
Yeah, I am.
What's up?
Actually... I just want to start off. I am a diagnosed nymphomaniac.
Megan,
who diagnosed you?
Yeah, first of all, there's no such term. So there we go.
Well, okay. Well, my therapist or whatever said that I have what is technically called nymphomania. It stems from issues and all sorts of wonderful stuff. Anyway.
All right, here's the deal. You can have sexual addiction or you can have sexual compulsion. And both of those tend to be caused by sexual abuse in childhood.
No therapist would call you a nymphomaniac.
No, that's not a term that has any meaning. Yeah.
Well, yeah, she just said that I have, it's pretty much a compulsion to just have sex all the time.
Right, so you were sexually abused as a child then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me, of course. Oh, who was it? I mean, come on. Wait,
yeah.
Well, no, I had no problem admitting it. It kind of happened. It's true. I'm not really... that upset about it. I dealt with it. I'm still dealing with it on a daily basis, so it's not a big deal.
All right, hold on a second. you've dealt with it, but you're dealing with it on a daily basis?
Yeah,
well,
the great...
Okay.
What I'm saying is that,
like, the larger part of it, like, some of the harder emotions I've gotten through, but there's things I kind of deal with on a daily basis about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it changes your brain. And so what part of it is a perception that it's over, I dealt with it. But the reality is it has a persistent effect on how your brain functions. As you see, you're sexually addicted, sexually compulsed.
Who molested you?
My brother.
Oh, nice.
What's
nice?
Biological brother?
And then they let him into the military and gave him a gun. How creepy is that?
Well, there's a good chance he's going to get shot before he shoots anyone else.
Well.
You got to look at it that way. Everyone does that thing where they go, and then they let him into the military. That's who we want in the military. Here you go, buddy. First, you're going to Fort Bragg in Kentucky, and then, pow, we're shipping you overseas. You're essentially off the continent.
That's good.
And see that guy over there? Yeah. You know what you think of your dad? Yeah. Pretend that's your dad. Now go get him. Go.
Perfect.
Scat. I said get. Go on, get. I mean, that's what you want. What do you want? A bunch of well-adjusted guys that want to talk things out, not prone to violence?
No, you're right.
Go molest the enemy.
Mock Schnell.
Mock Schnell, baby. That's what I'm saying. Get on a boat. Here's a gun and have at it. That's what we want. What do we want this guy staying stateside and going to junior college? Well, suckling off the teat of the taxpayer, molesting more people? No, get a gun, go overseas. Where was she,
six.
Drew? Line six. All right, Megan. How long did he do this to you?
For about 8 or 9 years.
Ooh.
Awful.
Bad times.
All right, what's your question?
I recently got in a bullet bike accident. I have road rash from, like, the
bullet
top
bike,
of my...
I think she's saying?
What's a bullet bike?
I fell off a bullet bike.
Fast motorcycle.
You just mean Jap junk? What are you talking about?
What's a crotch rocket? What's a bullet
cycle? Like a crotch rocket.
All right.
You fell off it?
Yeah, I got an accident.
What does it mean?
I got in an accident. I was drinking a little heavily and fell off.
Listen, yeah, Megan, you're an addict too. You need to deal with this. This is not gonna go well.
Wait a minute, what kind of motorcycle were you riding?
I have no idea. It was a Honda something.
You fell off the back or you were driving it?
Yeah, I fell off the back.
All right, that makes more sense.
Wow.
Because chicks can't ride motorcycles.
No, they really can't.
Nymphos
can't. I'm in total agreement with that.
No. You want to know how you know the guys who can't ride the bikes, I've always found, is when they sit at the light and then the light turns green and they take off, both feet are out like pontoons all the way through the intersection. they're just like a upside down V. They're like a teepee. Mm-hmm. The nut sack is on the tank, mm-hmm. and then the legs are just straight out. Almost like when a guy's walking a tightrope and he has that sort of balancing stick. When you see both those legs out at a 45 degree angle and the knees locked, and you see that all the way through the intersection, it's like, this guy cannot ride. The guys who can ride put one foot down, and they pop the other foot up before they even start rolling forward and just let the clutch out. Just go pop, go. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, makes sense.
That's how you know. Yeah.
I'll watch for that.
Watch for it.
I will.
Start watching for it.
Stay away from it.
Yeah, that guy's dangerous. All right. Megan?
Yeah.
Yeah, Megan, the therapy is not going to really help your condition. You've got to get some 12-step. You've got to.
I actually am in a couple of... I have been in 12-step before. It just doesn't really, you know, kind of do it for me.
Yeah, but Megan, you're 22.
You're not done it. You're not capitulated to it.
Let me just give you a little work to do, Megan. And you guys, everyone jump in and tell me what you think. But I would say, going through what you've gone through and seeing what you've seen, you know, being molested for multiple years, your job, probably before the age of 26, 27, and it's really 30, but I just don't want to, you know, turn you off too much, is not to get pregnant, not to get stabbed by a pimp, not to fall off the back of a motorcycle loaded and get killed. Like, you're not really going to thrive for a few years. Your job is to not do any permanent damage, not get strung out, not get thrown in jail, not crap out a bunch of kids.
She is going to get strung out, though.
That's what I'm saying. This accident really has been a big turnaround for me.
Now she's on Vicodin.
Good. Yeah. It was a wake-up call.
And so what painkillers?
Yeah, definitely.
Taking some painkillers now?
They've got me on Lortabs, but I'm kind of afraid.
There you go.
Don't take those Lortabs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of afraid to take them.
All right, good.
If I can deal with the pain, I'll do it.
Do it, do therapy, and don't get pregnant, and don't go to the joint, and don't do it. Just survive for a few years, and then things will start getting better.
Mm. Yeah, and that was...
All right, that's good.
Go. Okay.
That's all.
Next.
Well, look, Drew, wouldn't you say for a lot of people that listen to the show and call into the show, it's not really about thriving, it's about not getting cut from the team. To use a sports analogy, you don't have to make the starting lineup. You don't have to go all pro. Just see if you can make the 50-man roster at this point. In a few years from now, we'll see about making it into that starting rotation. Let's just not get cut.
You're asking a philosophical question. Is that, well, we know this person is not willing to get well, so maybe we can just cut down on the risks.
I don't think they're going to get well, even if they attempt to get well for a number of years.
I agree with you. Therefore, we just got to minimize the consequences.
Well, there's a bunch of things that happen when you're high or when life is horrible and whatever, and there's unwanted pregnancies and there's run-ins with the law and there's, hey, there's going in to score something and getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if you can avoid all those things...
Those are the consequences. Yeah.
Those are the consequences. Yeah. And then if you could make it to 30...
Maybe you want to get well then.
And you want to get well, yeah, or you have been slowly getting well up until that point, mm-hmm, then what's the difference?
Right. No, I'm with you.
All right.
People aren't ready till they're ready.
But, Drew, you need to just wrap these people in bubble wrap, put a hockey helmet on them, and dart them, and put them down for 5 years.
Oh, I've advocated that. Don't trust me.
Drew, do you think we'll get to a point where we can just sort of...
Lock people in a room?
No, but erase their memory.
No.
Why not? Would that be unethical?
Well, that's a whole different issue, but... Why would we want to erase the memory? That's what makes them.
Because every time they close their eyes, they see their brother on top of them.
But that's the problem.
I'm not talking about you and your highfalutin ski vacations with your hot snow bunny girlfriend when you're 17. I'm talking about people that were molested repeatedly, sipping Swiss Miss up in the Alps, toasting their toddies by the open fire, and talking about taking the three diamond run the following morn. No, not that, Drew. I'm talking about sweaty stepbrother on top of you. For 9 years. Yeah.
You look cathartic.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
What was I talking about?
Erasing the memory.
Yes. That it's not the memory that's the problem. It's what it does to the functions in the brain. It causes a dependency on a modality of regulating feelings that is very primitive. Particularly something called dissociation.
So the brain is physically changed.
Changed in terms of how it regulates itself. So it's not that there's some horrible memory. It's that the brain doesn't regulate in a mature and integrated way.
Right.
And so it becomes dependent on these primitive ways of regulating itself. And a repetition compulsion develops where they keep acting on the same behavior over and over and over again, which is the sexual compulsion.
Right. All right. So as you... I know this is this heady stuff, pardon the pun, but I'm interested in this.
Heavy.
As you mature, your brain is changing, evolving, growing.
Normally.
Whatever. Normally, it gets interrupted.
Trauma derails that.
And those aren't just memories. Those are actual rewiring.
Wiring mechanisms. And so the brain actually disintegrates. It becomes, parts of it wall off from other parts. And so that part where she's dealt with it, that's still sitting there having a reaction, even though she can't reach it.
All right. So there's really nothing.
No.
All right. Carrie?
Hi.
You're 20? Well, why don't I take the Laura tab then?
Well, that's why they take it. That's how they regulate those things.
Yeah.
And then the addiction gets triggered by that, and now it's bad times.
Gimme. Carrie?
Yes.
What's happening? Hey.
Okay. I've been using a vibrator for about a year now, mm-hmm, and ever since I started using it, I haven't been able to orgasm while I have sex, and my boyfriend's very frustrated.
Did you used to be able to?
Yeah.
During intercourse?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. That's weird.
Wow. Here's the thing. Your vagina got soft. It got weak. That's the problem with this country. You know what I mean? We used to be proud. We used to be strong. We used to have strong-willed vaginas.
A lazy vagina.
In this country. But we got soft. We got fat. And weak. Our children's vaginas are getting fatter and weaker. And I'm talking male and female vagina. I'm talking both.
I'm listening.
Metaphorically, your son's vaginas, Drew, they're soft, they're weak, they don't have the intestinal vaginal fortitude that your father had when his vagina came over on a boat many years ago from the old country, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
Had nothing but a dream and a nickel in his vagina. Could anyone's parents come over with more than $10?
Where's the geist, the vaginal geist?
Is there anybody's parents that came over here, or grandparents or great-grandparents that came over with a couple of dreams, a suit, and actually about $1,300, which is pretty good money in those days? Everyone just had $4?
No, they didn't have two nickels to rub together.
Look, if you're going to a new country, how about you save up $40? Huh? That's my thing. That's my thing. If I'm just going to get on a boat, it's going to cruise, going to last 42 days, and I'm going to Greece, I think I have more than $3.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'll go. Call me nuts. I'm going $30. That's me. And I might put a watch on or something too.
Maybe take more than one shirt.
And for those of you that didn't bring the $30, what's the plan?
What's the plan? I know, and it's like you go, well, $3 back then could buy a meal and a beer and a cup. Yeah, okay, a couple of meals, but okay, so it was equivalent to $80 or something. You know what I mean? Like, couldn't you? You left Greece when you were 28. You couldn't have saved up $100? Nothing. They didn't use money. No way. What do they pay over? They pay with over there hummus. Do they pay?
Grape leaves.
Grape leaves, stuffed grape leaves. Like, they actually have food that they pay you in food that would spoil. Like, your grandfather was paid in feta cheese. He came over here with a dream, $2 and a wheel of feta cheese and a nickel in his vagina. I'm just saying, look, if you're coming into this country, the dream part is good. Now have a couple ducats to rub together, would you? Or where are we, Drew?
Megan. Well, she can't orgasm with her vibrator, so lay off it for a little while.
Or
incorporate it into what you were doing. Bring it in.
Ooh,
go with it.
Yeah, but women can't. That doesn't work for women.
Ask her.
It's weird.
You're right. Yeah, it's weird.
Carrie?
Yes.
Did you try to incorporate the vagina?
No, the vibrator.
I mean, I'm so on the vagina now.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I haven't tried that because my boyfriend's like, he thinks of that as like, not prideful for him or whatever.
Well,
so,
why don't you just go ahead and pop that pride bubble and bring it on in.
Damn.
Yeah.
Poke it with that vibrator.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
Here's the other thing, too. Here's the thing about guys and stupid people. They have to make things their idea.
Right.
You somehow make it his idea to incorporate this into the bedroom, and he'll be into it. I don't know how. I don't know the best way to sort of do that. Is he aware of the vibrator?
Yeah. Well, he bought it for me.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
How long have you been using
Bitten by your own snake.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
No, he bought it for me because before we were having problems. Like I wasn't, like, I had estrogen problems and really low estrogen. I couldn't, like, have sex and I couldn't get turned on or anything.
At 20, you were having estrogen deficiency? Why, were you on the depot shot or something?
Yeah, I got put on, I had low estrogen and I got put on, like, progesterone or something.
Yeah, that's the opposite of estrogen.
I don't know.
All right.
Clearly you don't.
Just sweat the details.
Clearly.
All right, so listen, Carrie, he bought you the vibrator, but he doesn't want to use it with you.
He wants me to use it at home.
Right. Not out in the driveway.
No, like, he wants me to use it, but, like, because we don't live together, so he wants
right.
me to use it, but
okay,
he wants
listen.
Me to use it as, like, to, like, he thinks that'll, like, make my sex drive go up, and it has.
Oh, guys, and the whole mad scientist approach to their girlfriend.
Yeah, make it hot.
Yeah, we're going to work this.
Okay, so here's the thing, Carrie. He bought it for you, so you incorporate it into the act.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows it already.
Bring it on. Just come on.
Just go and bring it out.
Just assert yourself, Carrie. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, go ahead.
Come on. He's treating you like some sort of like beaker, some sort of, you know, Erlenmeyer flask.
Bunsen burner.
Yeah.
Is Bunsen the name of a guy?
I guess, yeah.
Wow. That's good. Bunsen burner. Big John Bunsen. He invented this flame that goes under this thing.
Sure, it's Dr. Bunsen.
Dr. John Bunsen.
I don't think the sort of configuration of Bunsen burner has changed in 300 years.
Well, if it ain't broke. I just like the alliteration part, you know? They don't call it the Bunsen flame. Somebody's smart enough to call it the Bunsen burner.
Bunsen torch.
Yeah, no. Oh, Bunsen burner.
Yeah. He had a good PR person.
Bunsen burner would be a great man. If you were a fast wide out and went to like Bunsen State, be an awesome name for you. I don't know if there's such a college, but it's worth
anyway.
To start one just to have a team so you can say
you
were the Bunsen burner.
Bunsen.
Yeah, boy, this guy returns kicks like nobody's business. All right, Thrice in studio tonight. Go find the name of Dr. Bunsen.
All right.
And really, you really think you need a doctor to invent that flame?
Maybe he wasn't a doctor.
The guy was probably just an out-of-work welder or something.
Archimedes.
Go look that up. Thrice in studio tonight. Going to be on Kimmel tomorrow night, everybody. And then going to be over at the Tower on Sunset Strip at 10 o'clock, signing the new CDs. We'll hear something off that new CD and talk to you after this.
Loveline's phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
Shut up.
everybody. It's Loveline, man. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Thrice in tonight, Dustin and Riley.
Yes, and Bob Berner.
In from the band. Visu, name of the CD, going to drop tomorrow. And also the boys are going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night. And then at 10 o'clock, they head over to the tower on Sunset Strip, do a little signing of the new CD. So Robert Eberhard Wilhelm von Bunsen.
Yes.
The inventor of the Bunsen burner.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Bunsen. Bob Bunsen sounds like a guy who will sell you insurance and play a little junior college guard, too, like on the football team.
Right.
Played. Now he's a fat guy with big forearms who wears a short sleeve shirt and a tie. Hi, Bob Bunsen. Nice to meet you. How do you fix your home? A comp? Collision? You doing okay? You understand? What if something... You know what the worst part about being a guy is when you keep hearing these commercials like, what happens? But what about your family? What about when you're gone? Don't you like to be a chick? All walk around all day having people going, what about when you're gone? What about when you're not there? What if something tragic were to happen to you? It's a bummer. You know, no one ever really thinks about it. You just sort of walk around. Yeah, what's going to happen when I'm gone? And then it's always like, why am I going first? Where am I going? Why can't they go? You know what I mean?
I mean, as a woman?
Yeah, like how about some chick?
You aren't going first.
How about a chick? I know, but can there be any kind of commercial like life insurance for her or for lesbians or something like, when you go, honey, what about then? What about that? How about it's always with the dudes? It's a bummer.
What are you going to do?
I'm just telling you, it is not a stone gas walking around hearing that. It's freak out is what I have to say to that. All right, let's take some. Anyway, the inventor of the Bunsen burner,
gas.
Robert Bunsen,
von Bunsen,
maker of the Bunsen burner. All right, let's
another Megan.
Talk to Megan. Yeah, Megan is Megan's 22. Megan,
hello.
What's up?
Hi. First of all, I want to say that I think both you, Adam, and Dr. Drew are two of the most intelligent creatures in Southern California, and I hope you're never taken off air.
Thank you. But what happens when you're gone? Who's going to take care of your family?
I don't know.
Huh? How would you like that, huh, ladies? How'd you like that pressure toss in your lap? What happens when you're gone? What if tragedy strikes? Yeah. You know what, women? Women be like, screw them, I'm gone. Let them get a job. All right, go ahead, Megan.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
Yeah, let me tell you something. You know what kind of service I would like? I'd like a service that was like, what happens if you're gone? What happens if the provider of the family tragically leaves? And what if the tragedy strikes and you can't provide for your family? We're a service that doesn't provide insurance for you. We teach your old lady how to make money. I'd like, yeah, sign me up. Yeah, go ahead. Now start working with her. Show her something. Because when I'm gone, she's going to need to work. I don't want to get a lump of $20 million. I want to get her ass off the sofa and go to work. How about that? How about that service? That's what I would get down with. What about when you're gone? We have to pry her lazy ass off the sofa. She's not going to have any kind of skills. We're going to teach her some skills. You know, put some makeup on and not cuss out her boss. Get a type 40 words a minute.
Nice.
You know what I mean? That's what I'd like to hear. That's the commercial. That's the AM radio commercial I'd like to hear. Not what happens when I'm gone. Go ahead, Megan.
Okay. Last night, a caller called in regarding HPV for women, and Dr. Drew said the vaccine would be available to us within a year.
I bet you. I'm betting on that.
Okay, because I unfortunately have the cancerous strain. And
I'm not sure it's been determined yet what it's going to do for people that already have the virus, whether it can slow it down or decrease it. It is a way of preventing transmission of the virus.
Well, it's like any, like polio or something, right. Or any of these other vaccines.
Well, sometimes vaccines, though, can help the body attack chronic viruses.
Really?
Yeah.
And another example of that you can think of? I mean, if it's smallpox or something, is it going to work if you get smallpox and then take the thing?
There's some data that suggests you can, or the other diseases, you can actually inoculate against melanomas and things.
Okay.
There's other stuff you've got that you can help fight. But I haven't seen any data on that yet, Megan, so I don't know how to answer that one. That may or may not be available. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. You're not for sure on that. Okay,
I'm sure the vaccine were available. I'm just not sure if it'll be of any use to people that already have the virus.
Yeah. Okay. And Megan, if your life is claimed by uterine cancer, what about your family? Who's going to provide for them?
Okay. All right. No.
How do you like it?
Have you had abnormal Paps yet?
Okay. Yes, I have.
Yeah. Okay.
And I had the what's it called? The colonoscopy, the
leap colposcopy.
Colposcopy.
But there's a cone thing too.
Conization, yeah, where they take the center of the cervix out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so it will just help me transmitting. It will just keep me from transmitting to other people, but it won't do anything for me for sure.
Well, for right, correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well.
Yep.
That's it. Thank you so
much. There you go. All right, Megan.
All right. Good times. Lesbian life insurance. Mutual lesbian life insurance.
LLI.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we should hear a Thrice song.
Beautiful.
How about that?
Yes, thanks.
New CD, Visu, coming out tomorrow. Well, really, in just about 1 hour and 26 minutes or so, technically. And this is a little something off it called Image of the Invisible.
Here we are. We back?
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. And if you want to hear that song in its entirety, watch Kimmel tomorrow night and hear just more than the organ solo from the lady. The stick solo.
Or the first nanosecond of the other song.
All right.
Are you ready?
Are we cool? Ah, all right. Once again, Thrice.
guest tonight. Album is coming out tomorrow in just about an hour and 20 minutes from now, technically. Visu, name of the CD, going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night, and then also signing at the Tower on Sunset Strip tomorrow. Drew.
Something burning?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I'll get that deodorant smell going on in here. You know, like that Old Spice.
I thought it felt like something like burning.
Is you wearing any Old Spice?
No.
Nothing?
Mm-mm.
Not you? All right. Let's play a little Germany or Florida.
All right, fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trevor?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, theme song for Germany or Florida. Florida.
Is it Germany or Florida?
David Alan Greer at the mic.
Germany or Florida? Let's find out.
Yeah, big end. Trevor. Trevor.
Ooh, doesn't sound good.
Mm-mm.
Germany. I'm guessing.
Trevor. All right.
Gone.
Caller goes by Trevor. No? Boy, I'll tell you, that's tough. Normally, I like it when calls drop off, but when we do the big Germany or Florida send up and then...
Get that. That's awful.
Nothing. Want to talk to Kyle?
Sure.
All right. Kyle.
Hi.
20?
Yep.
You have a question for the guys?
Yeah, I was just wondering how they feel about their album being leaked on the internet before it is released.
It pretty much happens with every record there is nowadays, so...
Yeah.
Okay, so is it just...
Whatever.
All right.
It definitely lessens, like, the importance of, I guess, midnight tonight or tomorrow morning because... I guess most of the excitement is hoping that everybody gets the record, you know, that day, and they sit down with the liner notes and stuff and take it in as a whole. But I don't know. It's cool enough to know that people are into it enough to go look for it on the internet and find it on file sharing sites, I guess.
Well, it means you've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Really, basically, think about it.
You guys are actually my favorite band. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man.
Wow. There you go. Hey, are you going to buy this CD?
Actually, I have it pre-ordered, the special edition.
He's got off the internet already.
Pre-ordered.
Thank you for doing that, man.
What's the special edition?
It's a regular edition with a special sticker on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's got, like, different art. It's got, like, foil stamp and a 32-page booklet with all these liner notes. And
what's a liner note?
It's like old jazz records where there's, like, extra, like, a lot of literature in there. Like, we did notes on every song, like background of songs and the
liner notes, haven't you?
No, I don't know that.
Well, liner notes aren't liners just anything you put in there, like the thank yous.
Yeah,
and
that would all be liner notes. But we put like, I don't know what you'd call them.
Band commentary, song commentary.
It's one of these things
nerd
where
stuff.
I think that the fact that people can go on the internet and steal things and share things and download things have forced the artist to sort of step it up. To offer more than just the music, but to offer the liner notes and the art and the other aspects of the band and other aspects of the CD that go along with it. It's one of these things where at first it's sort of like, oh, this sucks, but it's sort of, I don't know, it's almost like the American car companies didn't like the Japanese coming in and competing, but it forced them to sort of up their product a little bit. And now everything looks pretty good now.
Yeah.
Look at stuff in the 80s. Just be... Just be a picture of some dude on there, and then on the back of the CD, have him looking backwards,
right,
looking over his shoulder.
Right.
That was one front one frontal shot, back one he's looking over his shoulder, and the name of the album was like looking back, and that was about it. Then you open up, it was nothing.
With the
it was
Brett
just
album,
a just... folded over piece of Kleenex in there.
That's right.
Nothing.
That's right.
All right, but now look at this.
Oh, wow.
Art, graphics, pages, recipes. Nice gazpacho recipe on page 9. You see that, Trevor?
Oh, nice, yeah.
Yeah, look at that.
Squid.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
squid helps.
We'll be right back with Thrice after this.
Call 1-800-LOVE-191 to broadcast your problems to the public.
Love Line will be right back.
Yeah, buddy, love line, Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Thrice in studio tonight. They're going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
What does Visu mean?
Tomorrow night.
It's from Book V by Thomas Pynchon. But basically, we knew we wanted to have a one-word title. And in the end, we chose something that wasn't loaded for people. So it kind of could be a blank slate for them to listen to the record and
What does it mean, though?
What does it mean?
Does it have meaning?
In the book, it's actually really kind of a labyrinth of meanings, and I think we like the sense of mystery.
Give me a basic meaning of Vesuvius.
The code word for Vesuvius and the entrance to the underground.
All right, there you go. And interesting. Very.
Who's the author?
Pynchon. Thomas Pynchon. Yeah. Pynchon, is that the correct way to say?
That's what I was talking about.
I don't
What's
know.
He write? What's his big book?
He's the
Hop on
Gravity's
Pop?
Rainbow V.
I don't believe in reading. I believe it poisons the mind. I'll
very,
go ahead and talk.
For you.
If I can't say it or watch it, I'm out. I don't like that reading business, Drew. No pictures. A lot of books.
Pynchon's not exactly eye candy. It's tough reading.
Hmm?
Very weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. You know, sort of.
What's that place that stores the books that'll let you borrow them sometimes?
The library.
Library.
Mm.
Always forget that one.
Libra.
Libra. So it's like a sign. Okay, because I always because it doesn't have the word book in it, you know, so it's confusing to me. Library, what's that mean? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have the word book in
it. Ex libris.
And then the thing is who would borrow a book? You know, what kind of twisted individual would go take a book home?
And then,
you know what I mean?
Then to have another person, a book that other people have touched.
I understand it if somebody comes to you and takes your books away. I understand that, but you going and taking books from other places and then bringing them back and then looking at them and then bringing them back later on?
Wild.
Is it the taking or the bringing it back that weirds you out?
To me, borrowing a book is like it's like me jumping over my neighbor's fence, grabbing some of the fecal matter in the backyard and scurrying back over the fence again.
Speaking of which, by the
way. It'd be confusing for the neighbor. You know?
But then putting it back later.
Then later on, two weeks later, putting it back and paying him 17 cents. And watching a couple of unemployable people read a newspaper with a huge wicker cane attached to it. I like that one. What was that? That crazy bonsai cane that was attached to the thing that Japanese guys would fight with, you know?
No,
the crazy wicker cane.
They use it for caning in Cambodia.
I know. What do we got? 22 cents worth of newspaper? Who's making out with that thing? What's someone going to do? Keister the Sunday paper and stroll out of the place? Where's it going? We put the newspapers on this crazy. It's like a.
How long would it take to load the papers on, too?
Hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah,
$128 per paper to be loaded onto that thing because it's a union guy and he's on golden time by the time he gets a sports page in there from the Sunday edition. And it's more like it's put on some sort of weird barbecue spit thing like it's going on a rotisserie. What is that thing, Drew? Do they have those?
No, not anymore. Like in hotels, you'll see them once in a while as a throwback to some sort of turn-of-the-century reference.
Are you supposed to read the newspaper with that giant stick on it?
Yeah, it's supposed to keep it kind of organized for you. Kind of keep it, you know.
You know what? I would like to be so rich one day that I had the paper delivered with the stick on it. Every day. Big, solid oak, hand-turned, lathe, beautifully spalted stick on my newspaper.
They'd put it on like a rack.
Put on a rack.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like all the bad part of barbecuing and none of the meat.
Or fire.
Yeah, nothing. Bunsen. Von Bunsen?
He'd hate this.
He would not be down with this. I can tell you that right now. Yeah. What is that, Drew? Find out the name of that stick, and I'm telling you, I want my paper delivered on that stick.
Bunsen pox on it.
Cynthia?
Hi.
You're 27?
Yeah. My boyfriend's stingy with his porno. He won't share it with me. See, I think the porno's great. It's educational. It's fun. And his excuse is that his past relationships, the girls were like, I feel uncomfortable and stuff. And I'm like, bust it out, dude. And he's just like, kind of, I don't know. How do I go?
I want to ride the pony, Daddy.
Yeah. That woman is 42 who said that.
Yeah, I think you're freaking him out a little
Where's
bit.
Your dad?
What?
Where's your dad? Something's up
passed
here.
Away.
Passed away.
When I was 10, yeah.
In jail.
Ooh.
In jail.
What happened?
He died of a massive heart attack in front of the family at home.
What? How old was he?
He was 52.
Ooh, he's older.
52. And you were 10. Yeah. So did he die in front of you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's awful.
Mm-hmm. Also, you know, the people who die of the heart attack, you don't have to put the massive in front of it. We get it. It was big.
Well, it was...
Medium to small doesn't bring it down, right?
Well, you know, there's a concussion. There's a slight concussion. Yeah.
No, the dead part.
Concussion doesn't put you in a respirator. Yeah. That's the part. Like, you say heart attack, kill him. You don't have to say massive heart attack, kill him. We do the massive math. You know what I'm saying? So that's traumatizing, right?
Yeah.
How did you get along with him before that?
He was my best friend.
Ooh. I mean, ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best friend?
I was like a shadow, you know? It's like...
So you saw your father and your best friend die in front of you.
Well, yeah.
So it's very traumatizing.
Yeah. I saw my stepfather die in front of me, too. So it's
what happened to him?
Stroke.
What? How old was he?
He was 60-something.
Oh, my God. These men dying. Are they all smokers? Are they drug addicts?
Mom's
or what?
The Black
no,
Widow.
No, he hit his head. Yeah, my mom. Actually, my mom just recently passed away, like,
He hit his head.
All right, but wait a minute. Was she covered? Did she have insurance? What about her family?
Well, what do you mean he hit his head?
Exactly. Now, she was on the Indian Reservation, and the government paid for it.
Oh.
So. All right, hold on.
Now it's starting to come together. That's all I need to know.
So anyway,
hold on a second.
It's coming in a little more focus
this
now.
Is getting thick. Oh, if you see Firewater. Cynthia.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
All right.
Because I want to talk about this. We have everyone dying in Indian reservations and all that kind of stuff. Yeah? Booster?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Thrice in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Dustin Riley here tonight from Thrice. Going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night.
Nervous time.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Nervous time.
Huh. No. You guys have done...
We've done it before.
Live before, right?
Yeah. Because it's live, it's extra scary. Like, you go on... We did...
But no, wait a minute. It's
way
live,
more...
But yeah. It has the word live in it.
No, it's live.
On the East Coast.
Is it?
Yeah.
Now, let me see. Let me do some math.
You can't do it over if you
No. Oh, no, you cannot do it over. I mean, here's the thing about TV live or not, for the most part. If you can't do it over, it's the same as doing it live. Right. Either you can do it over, you can stop, or you can do whatever you can't. And if you can't, you can't. And that's what you can't do when you do Jimmy Kimmel.
It's
not
pretty mellow
live.
On there, though, because it's like a outside show. Or at least when we did it last time and this time, there's like 1,000 kids out there, and it's like a regular show.
Are you doing the outside show?
Yeah.
Oh, that's big time. Because they only let the big bands out there. The littler bands have to perform inside at the bar area. You hip?
It's a good time.
Not
I, like
even
it,
inside.
I like it outside.
No, it's good.
Nice.
It's a good sign.
It's a big old stage and nice lights.
No, it's good.
I think they got that.
You got that good part? I mean, it's really good.
Bad.
No, it's a lot of, almost every time I do JKL, as I like to call it, it's the band is performing over by the bar with like 25, 30 people standing around. They don't let the big ones on. Where are we, Drew? Cynthia?
That's Cynthia on the Indian Reservation.
Porn.
Yeah. Cynthia?
Hey, what's up?
All right. So let's just let's do a little backtracking.
Let's start.
Here.
You had a dad who died of a heart attack. Was he diabetic?
Yes, he was.
Okay. And he was North American Indian?
Yeah. Okay. Both my parents are Native American.
I get it. Was he a smoker? Cigarette smoker?
He smoked for a short period. When
okay.
He was
so
younger.
Smoker with diabetes.
Short period. Smoke. Short
he
period.
Still. Smoke when I was growing up at all. Right. I didn't have a cigarette in his mouth.
Drink or do drugs or anything?
No.
Okay.
I saw him drunk once. I was on a Christmas party.
It was from 1985 to 1996.
Long Christmas party. Every day is Christmas when you're on the reservation.
All right, Cynthia. So there's a little bit more than just, oh, my God, he just dropped dead. This young, healthy guy. He had diabetes.
Well, he had diabetes.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So, and then your stepfather, you said he had a stroke, but he hit his head?
Yeah, he was
on the way down.
My niece, like, in a baby seat in the back, and then, like, hit his head, and later on that night, he just passed away.
He's doing what with the baby seat?
Head injuries have nothing to do with stroke. So what are we talking about here?
I'm assuming that's kind of what it was, because he was complaining about having a real bad headache before he went to sleep. So.
Well, strokes don't hurt, so it has nothing to do with the stroke. Did they do an autopsy to figure out what happened?
I never got that involved with, like, what happened.
Okay, so we don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, well,
it kind of freaked me out. Like,
I heard a whole thing about North American Indians getting the diabetes.
Oh yeah,
and having a huge problem with weight and
lots
the
of diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yep,
yeah, my
lots
brother
of
has it.
Is he big?
Yeah.
Diabetes and alcoholism; those are the two biggies.
On the second one.
You have alcoholism?
Well, I have, like, a need to drink, like...
That's called alcoholism. That's called alcoholism.
Well, I'm not, like, technically smart like you gentlemen, so... Yeah, I'm an alcoholic.
You have to be a genius to be an alcoholic.
Exactly.
Quite the contrary.
I'm poster child for that.
Okay.
Anyway,
all right. And so, how's your diabetes or your weight or all that stuff doing?
I weigh like 145 and I'm like 5'6".
Okay.
5'9".
That's good. Good.
Mm-hmm. And what else?
And she likes porn.
Oh, you like porn.
Yeah, and my boyfriend's like all weirded out that I like it too.
Yeah. You know what? There's no American Indian porn. They got a lot of black porn. There's a lot of Asian porn.
Well, you know, back in when the Indians were running around in little leather cloths and the white man was coming over and stuff, they would just have sex on rocks and stuff, and the white man.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, why didn't someone film it?
So there was Indian porn, a long heritage.
Yeah, but I don't want to see some cave drawing of an Indian with a boner. I want to see some of him get it on. You know what I mean? Think about that.
Camera obscura.
It would be hot to have the Lando Lakes butter squaw going down on some...
Tonto.
Yeah, big squanto.
You could rent Clan of the Cave Bear.
Clan of the Cave Bear?
Yeah, Daryl Hannah's in that somehow. She's with Indians.
It's not really. Those are just cave people.
Stylized.
Yeah. There's no blonde Indians. Come on, Anderson. That's not in. That's not going to...
I think she's an albino or something.
The point is it's not going to fill my void for North American Indian porn.
When I was 11, it did for me.
Clan of the Cave Bear. Cynthia?
Hi.
Besides, I don't want to sit through 2 hours of no talking. That's like almost like reading a book.
It's actually helping me, making me feel better, because I've been, like, freaking out. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, what?
That you like porn? Well, alcoholics tend to like highly arousing sex and thrill-seeking behaviors and stuff, so it makes sense that you like that, and that's fine. Uh-huh. You would like that. You would actually like that. You'd be drawn in that direction, even if your alcoholism weren't active, because that's just sort of the way you're configured when you have that disease state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all right. It's fine. Now, it may freak him out a little bit, because maybe he kind of senses the energy behind it. Sort of, he's kind of pushing back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he needs to get with it a little bit.
Cynthia,
it's fine.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you working?
I'm at my work, and it's also my place of residence. So I live here.
Read tarot cards, erotic massage. What do you do?
No, I mean, I clean the place, but no. My boyfriend's the general manager of this place, and
And you live there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of the place.
Like it's in a hotel, an apartment complex, or something?
No, it's a theater.
Theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Any adult themes or just?
It's like magic stuff.
Okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but when I hear magic, it's time to move on.
It's adult magic.
Adult magic.
Don't see that porn either. You know the worst place? You know the saddest? I'll tell you. You know the saddest place to live? And a lot of these places have places to live above them. There's a weird sort of thing where they would build a business, and they would build a little apartment above it. Like, old days, they'd build a liquor store, and there'd be that little apartment above it. Or a little deli or a little corner market, and there'd be that little apartment above it. And the guy who worked at the place just lived there. He'd just slide down a fireman's pole. He'd be at the cash register.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of the way to go, because he can look after it and do all that stuff.
Tax write-offs and things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know a place that builds the little apartment above it? Coin-op car wash. If you see the coin-op car wash with the little apartment kind of thing above it, look at some of the older ones especially, I have seen a few new ones too, it's that little about the size of sort of the main square island. There's a little stairs going up. You know, they always put a little office or something above there.
Is that the manager living?
Somebody's up there.
Ooh.
And it's like, look, as long as you can keep the towelettes fresh, and you can keep the soap in the dispenser, and you can make sure there's change in the dollar bill change machine. You can live up there, but that's crazy. That's a depressing place to live.
Yeah,
above the coin on. Yeah,
yeah. Group showers.
Yeah, yeah. It's I imagine it would have its perks, and I would have lived there for many years of my life. I would have jumped at it for quite a few years. Yeah, Natasha.
Yes.
23?
Yes, hello, 23.
What's up?
Well, I was just curious, is there anything wrong? The only way my boyfriend would want to have sex with me is that I'm, you know, on the time of the month. First, it was just that he wanted to go down on me only on that time. And then ever since I wanted to let him go down on
me
on that time, you know, that's the only time he ever wants to make love to me.
Wait, you mean he actually knows you're on your period, or just coincidentally, whenever he really is going for it, is around that time?
No. It's when I'm on that time. He knows I'm on that time.
How does he know that?
Hold on. Hand the phone to him, would you please? I know he's standing there.
No, he's not standing here. He's actually at work.
Give him the phone.
No, there are guys that will actually become more sexually interested around that time. And some women get that way, too.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering if she's saying that he's just interested then or more interested then, or he has instructed you, Natasha, to alert him when there is menstrual blood so he can then go down.
Well, she hangs the sheet with the spot in it out the window, and he knows when he's driving by to stop.
So which is it?
When he knows it, that's all.
How does he know it?
Well, I live with the man, so.
You tell him. You tell him that's what's happening.
Yeah, okay. And that's, you know, at first I was just, you know, really like, wow, you know, it was gross. It was, you know, that's gross. But then I let him start going down on me, and then now that's all he ever wants to do is only when I'm on the time of the month. And then now it's only when I'm on the time of the month that he'll want to have sex with me now.
Wow.
I don't understand. I think it's gross because it's, you know, more wet and, you know.
It has a bogus quality.
Yeah, put him on the phone. Would you hand him the phone, please?
He's
hand
at
him
work.
The phone. Where? Where does he work?
Pants low.
Where does he work?
He's a security guard.
No, oh, there's a shocker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's he guarding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Is he guarding anything? You know, you know what I secretly think? I think they hire security guards so that guy doesn't rip stuff off.
Right.
I think they just see guys milling around the warehouse and like, hey, put this shirt on. Here's some pepper spray. Sit here. We'll give you $8 an hour. And it's like, oh, there's one more guy that's not going to rip this place off. Because he was planning on ripping the place off before they gave him a job guarding it.
Now he's gainfully employed.
Now he's employed. Yeah.
Can't get the bennies by ripping the place off.
No. Pennies. Natasha?
Yes.
What do you do?
I'm a nurse.
Ooh, what happened to you?
I love my job.
I know, but what happened? Molested?
No, I love my job. I took care of my grandparents.
I don't mean molested at work. I mean, you're taking care of your grandparents.
Yeah, I take care of the geriatrics, elderly.
Where's your parents?
I have my father. I recently just began speaking to my mother.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah,
it's on now.
I was young.
That's where the nurse part comes in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to be a mother.
Yeah.
When did how old were you when your mother left?
She left when we were little. Like, I was, I think, 4 years old when she actually left.
That's awful.
And where did she go?
She just left. She was on drugs.
Yeah.
All right. Now it's starting to come together.
My father and my grandparents.
That's horrible.
And she didn't leave the country or the state or anything. She just was getting high.
You know, I never knew if she was dead or alive.
And when did she resurface?
Well, my sister actually met up with our grandmother. She heard the name. And it just kind of, you know, came about my grandmother and my aunt, my mom's sister, and then it kind of surfaced up from that.
So your mom was out of your life from age 4 to just recently?
Yes. Yes. Ugh.
Is she in recovery now?
Yeah, you know, my grandmother made a big, you know, womanly spot in my life, so that helped a lot.
Yeah, but your mom cutting out when you're 4 is
a huge deal.
Devastating.
Huge deal.
And not coming back and
devastating.
Yes.
Getting dumped off at your grandparents. And then you've taken this energy and turned it to taking care of the elderly, which is a good example of sort of taking lemons and making lemonade. That's, you know.
But it tends to drive you to subjugate your own needs on behalf of others.
Yeah. And I don't trust the night watchman who only shows up 3 days out of the month in the bedroom. I don't trust this guy.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was normal or
no. I'm going to deem it abnormal. Yeah. Now, if a guy wants to, you know, if you're a guy where the flow doesn't get in the way, that's a different thing. That's a man of exquisite sexuality and passion like Dr. Drew.
But this guy's seeking it.
But if this guy's seeking it out, that's something else.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, he doesn't want to make love with me when I'm
And Natasha, you picked him, so I don't trust you.
Right.
You don't trust me.
Well, you have the trauma.
I don't trust your instincts. Yeah. You have the trauma instinct. That means you hook up with abusers.
Well, he's been very great. I've been in some long relationship. I've been in a relationship for 5 years, and that kind of just like fell through.
Why?
And
what
this
happened?
Man came into my life, and wow, I've never felt the things I feel with him.
Sure. Oh, he come riding in on a steed or moped, whichever. Technically, a moped. He's out in the parking lot of the Costco right now till 6 a.m. Only wants to go down on you when it's that time of the month. Got you. Could never do better than this.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Chivalrous.
Oh, I'm picturing, I'm going back to the glory days of film, picturing this guy.
Yeah.
You know, the Clark Gable type.
Sure.
Hair back and sure. Ascot. Hanging, maybe a kerchief tied around his neck. Yeah. Not even a
Cary Grant.
Ascot. Cary Grant.
Yeah.
Monocle.
Debonair. Monocle. Spats. Being chauffeured around. Then one of those cars where the chauffeur was left
outside.
Open, but you were inside. That's a little F you to the guy driving the cars. It's snowing outside. Your part of the car's going to be convertible. And no roof on your part. My part, I'll have crystal vase in my part. Little daisy in it. You'll be out there with pigeons crapping on your head. They're going to extend the roof another 23 inches. Go ahead and cover the guy's head.
No,
leave that open. Back then, that whole deal was, I got money. He don't got money. I'm indoors.
I'm
he's
gonna
not. I'm going to show you. I'll put these spats over my shoes. What do they do? Nothing. You know how expensive they were and how long they took to put on? That's how rich I am. That's what they would do. Now everyone's at Old Navy and driving a Prius. What the F? It's hardly worth being rich anymore, I'll tell you that. You don't get to abuse people. You don't get to grease anyone's palm. You know, you can't buy off politicians.
Judges.
Judges and things. It used to be if you had a couple of bucks, you make your own rules, you have your own laws, you just enslave a few people. You know what I mean? It was good. It was awesome.
How dare you?
Now it's like, we're all going to the Old Navy, we're getting some cargo pants, and then it's off to TGI Fridays for a burger. Yeah, we're getting a little performance police, and that's about it. And then you'd have, like, you used to be able to have stuff like, hey, man, if you had home theater, you were rich, and everyone's got a home theater, everyone's driving, everyone's got air conditioning, everyone's got an airbag. It ain't worth it. It's not worth it. You just can't rub it in anyone's face anymore. Who are we talking to, Drew?
Nobody.
Natasha?
We're done.
She's fine?
Paul.
All right. Any bets on Natasha's weight?
180?
180?
Yeah.
So you're going light.
Yeah.
All right. Riley?
4'3".
I'll go 190.
90? Dustin?
Mm-hmm. But short also.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
You want to venture a guess?
Go with 300.
I'll say do it. I'll say two.
Two?
Two L's.
Do I go over two? Or under, you know, they may lie a little on the radio. I'm going to go 205.
Okay.
I'm going up top. Natasha?
Very proportioned.
Big gal?
Yes.
What are you coming in at?
Well, excuse me?
What weight you coming in at?
I'm 180 pounds.
Oh, Drew.
I'm 180.
Yeah.
I'm 5'7".
Okay, very curvaceous. Wow, nice. All right, I'll focus on those. Very proportionate.
Yeah,
all right.
My nurse even commented to me, where do you keep your weight at?
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's good. She was 370 pounds.
What do you mean your nurse?
Actually, she was 157, and, you know, she looked really big. And
what do you mean your nurse?
I portioned my weight very well.
She has a nurse.
What do you mean your nurse?
No, my nurse.
My nurse.
You said you're a nurse.
My nurse.
No,
it's one word, minors.
My nurse.
She's a foreigner.
What do you mean my nurse?
It's her neighbor, minors.
My nurse.
It's a lot of small children.
What do you mean by that?
Minors.
Talking about people that dredge coal from the ground. A lot
minors.
Of them have commented
minors.
After coming up from the mines
minors.
That she carries her weight well.
Lights with
Natasha, what do you mean my nurse?
My nurse. Everyone has to see. One has to go see the doctor. So the doctor's nurse when she takes my weight.
My nurse.
Her nurse.
Yes.
Your doc, the nurse that works at your doctor's office.
Yeah.
No, I'm an independent nurse. I'm independent. I go to people's homes.
Right, but you have a doctor.
You said my nurse.
You have a doctor.
I have a doctor that has a nurse.
And that doctor has a nurse.
Yeah, which is my nurse.
That's
but
your
it's
nurse.
Her,
right.
It's
I
her nurse.
I wish I had that kind of self-esteem where I could think of the dental hygienist who works for my dentist as mine. And yeah. The nurse is mine. And yeah. I don't know what they're doing the 300 days out of the year that I'm not there.
They're waiting for you.
I imagine just sitting on a bar stool looking at their watch.
Where's Adam?
By the front door. With that that thing, that cup with the string and the ball on it. Trying to get that thing in there.
Reading your charts and crying.
Just crying. My nurse. You know the by the way, Drew, 180, and you deserve applause for 180, although you'll not get any from this bitter crowd. I will claim a moral victory that 180 in reality, if I threw her on the scale right now, I'd get a 205 right now.
She qualified as my nurse said I'm 180.
her nurse wanted to know where she hid the weight.
Yeah.
All right. You can always answer my huge ass. So I answer.
My gunt.
You're nuts. Let's take a break.
We're going to take a break.
Yeah.
Paul?
Hello?
22?
Yeah.
You've been doing heroin for 6 months?
Well, actually, I've been doing it longer than that, but I've been shooting it for 6 months.
Shooting it for 6 months.
What's your question?
Yeah.
Are you high right now?
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah.
Obviously. You're a heroin addict.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much? Yeah, you're a heroin addict.
Pretty much. He's hot, yeah.
Absolutely. You're a heroin addict. Okay, what's the question?
My right arm is, like, numb.
You're a heroin addict.
It's like I have no blood flow in my arm, and I was wondering what I did. Maybe, like, pinched off a vein or something. I don't know.
It hurts. It's numb, like your little finger and fourth finger?
Actually, my middle finger is just completely numb, but when I wake up in the mornings, or anytime I'm laying down, my entire, like, forearm goes numb.
Yeah, it's probably, it's probably from you injecting. You probably hit a nerve. You probably destroyed the nerve.
Oh, really?
There, so, yeah.
Okay. Okay, and one more quick question. I was wondering why I don't sneeze. Why? when I'm on opiates, I don't sneeze.
Yeah, I don't know this, but I imagine opiates suppress sneeze in that when you come off opiates, you sneeze like crazy. It's a lot of sneezing very often.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's must suppress.
Is that weird to notice not? Sneezing?
Yeah, because you don't.
I think you notice sneezing when you're off it, and therefore you do the math. But it's really you sneezing more when you're off, not you not sneezing when you're on.
Well, no, it's just I do not sneeze at all when I'm on them. I realized that after like a year, I haven't sneezed in like a year. Except,
but also let me say this about sneezing. Some folks are sneezers, like Jimmy, sneezer. I'm not a sneezer. I rarely, almost never do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is I used to sneeze a lot before I started doing opiates. See.
Okay, and there you go.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah. All right. Well, one more reason to keep chasing that dragon. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad time you lose that nerve, boy. You're going to be in big trouble.
Where do you get your heroin?
Well, I live in Santa Ana, and I don't know if you've ever been here, but it's all over the place.
Yeah, where don't you get it? That's right. Yeah, yeah. You go down to the Y. You get to the vending machine at the Y, the men's locker room. You get to Santa Ana. So what's the plan? I mean, are you going to quit?
I guess I'll have to eventually if I want to live.
Right. That's true.
I'd like to be high. I want to be high. So.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, if someone really is just enjoying it at this particular time, it's going to be hard to talk them out of it, right?
Yeah, they love it. And that's part of the reason before it gets through to them, the profound destruction that the addiction has, it has to get severe.
Mm-hmm.
They have to nearly die.
Mm-hmm.
Then they start going, well, I guess I have to stop.
All right. Are you able to work, Paul?
Oh, yeah, I work 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
As what?
Well, I actually am a technician at a networking company. We set up people's networks. I pull cable, basically.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean taking a crap, or does that actually mean actually physically
taking a crap? Did I have to watch the video today of Steve-O getting crapped on by an elephant?
Yeah, that was kind of awesome.
Every time I close my eyes, I see it. I'm not sleeping tonight.
Watch Too Late Tonight on Comedy Central. You get to see Steve-O get urinated and fecalated by an elephant.
Lying in an elephant going, I want a golden shower.
An elephant. And here's the thing. Elephant does not whiz on you. Elephant sort of dumps on you. Yeah, he unloads.
Like, the gate's open.
Like a fire hose.
Well, let's put...
No, no. It's just more like a waterfall. It's just like,
yeah. Think of it this way. Hold on a second, Paul. You think of it this way. You at 190 pounds, when you go in to do your business, you can make a mess. That's 190. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, when you have a full bladder and you're taking a whiz and it's going hard and it's kicking up some foam and making noise and spraying around, I mean, that's just you at 190.
Now you're 6,000 pounds.
Now you're 6,000 pounds. Imagine you. I mean, I've had some roommates that have done some dukes that were so big that when they flush the toilet, the Duke could not figure out which end to go into the opening first, so it just spun around like a propeller and left a continuous circular skid mark all the way around the thing. Had to take a pool cue and break the thing up to get it down. This 185-pound man.
Yes, yes, yes.
I think elephants go 4,000 or 5,000 pounds, maybe probably 3,000 pounds.
Was it kind of solid or no?
It was solid but broke apart as it landed on Steve-O's head. And then Steve-O vomited all over the place. It was just cool. That's great.
All right. Well, anyway, watch Steve-O on Too Late Tonight.
Back
watch
to crazy sneezing. Stuff. Is it bad when people suppress their sneeze?
No. Does it grab
unhealthy?
It?
Unhealthy?
No.
Yeah.
Well,
I just don't understand how they do it.
Suppress it, you mean once it's taken hold.
Where it's a huge sneeze, but then it comes...
Yeah, that's got to be tough on your eardrums, doesn't it?
It's eardrums and it's a Valsalva maneuver, which is not the healthiest thing people can do, but it's not that big a deal.
Valsalva maneuvers, like
bear down.
Yeah, but you do that when you're lifting weights.
I know.
Don't you?
Well, you're just supposed to not. You're supposed to breathe.
Or go to the bathroom.
That's why your trainer's always going, breathe, breathe. You're supposed to.
Well, I know you breathe and breathe and breathe, but then when it's time to do the deadlift, like,
I was saying Valsalva is not a healthy move, particularly.
No. Is there a technical term for when you look at a light and it helps you sneeze?
Yo, how does that work? Have you not heard that?
Someone told me it's only like 1 out of 10 people, but if
you
like have the sneeze, it doesn't work for me.
It doesn't work for me either.
It really
works for me.
That what?
If you have to sneeze or you feel something coming on, but it's not quite there, and you just sort of like, you know what it's like? You haven't feel like back to the Duke, feel like I take that Duke, but it's just not happening. So you drink a cup of coffee and here we go.
Right.
Now it's on. Steve-O puts his head in the toilet. If you feel like you have to sneeze or it's kind of hanging around a little bit, and you just go up and look into a light source, a light bulb will do it, but the sun will really get you. Like, if it's hanging around, it'll push you over the edge.
Well, for some reason, it's causing vasodilation of what's called the Kieselbox plexus here.
Kieselbox.
And
it just sort of dilates, and then it generates a sneeze. Now, why looking up into a bright light would cause the dilatation?
It really feels like it's something with your eyes or something.
It's, not,
but
it's definitely
really,
not everybody, though.
Oh, maybe it's not everybody. I don't think it's 1 in 10 people. It's probably more like half the people. If you look up into the sun, it'll get you going. It won't make you sneeze if you don't have to sneeze, but if it's right there, it'll push it. Try it. You never tried it, though.
No, I can. I've tried it.
It doesn't.
Zero. It's okay.
No, Drew. I'm on the verge of sneeze now.
I am. Shut up.
You're not a good...
No, I just... So for some reason, every night in the second hour of this room, I always start sneezing.
All right, but Drew, don't do that crap. I'm about to sneeze. Oh, see, nothing. You got to have a sneeze, all right? You got to sneeze, then. No.
I say I could feel like a little something.
Well, let's go.
I'm not saying I'm about to sneeze.
Well, 10 seconds ago, you're on the verge of sneezing.
That's fine. So we'll see until I sneeze.
Sneeze watch, 05.
It was like we were on a... Just waiting for something stupid to happen. We were on a morning show on some radio station. Gallagher was outside.
Gallagher?
So you have Gallagher on a radio station.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
First of all, what are you thinking there? He's outside.
Well,
I'm going to smash something. But he wouldn't smash anything because there weren't enough people outside. So he was just yelling. And
I think he's a madman. But, you know, the who the hell got his start doing ventriloquism on the radio? Bergman? Yeah.
Edgar Bergen.
Got his start doing ventriloquism on the radio. Ventriloquists used to be popular, and ventriloquists used to do radio shows And for 10 years, there was ventriloquism going on the radio, which is insane. Weird. It's almost like we have a mime as a guest today. Yeah. Oh, look at that. He's trapped in a box. Oh, he's pulling a rope. It's crazy. He's walking against the wind, everybody. Uh-oh, he's bored. Look at him. He's bored by my speech. Look at him. Come on, Drew, sneeze right here.
I'll try looking up.
No, that, I would argue that if you really had to sneeze and I took you into the bright sunshine, you would feel it. You'll feel the difference. Well, because you can't just say I have to sneeze. Then you got to sneeze.
We'll see if I sneeze. But Adam, just because things happen to you doesn't mean they happen to everybody.
I know, but it's true. It does. I could get you. I get you.
I'm interested.
Yeah, but true. You know what? You're contrarian. That's your problem. Remember that time? Remember we got in that conversation about putting metal in your mouth versus putting wood in your mouth?
Yeah, that doesn't
I told a lot of people that story, and they're like, what is he, high? There's no difference?
Yeah, I can't.
I know you can't.
Right, I can't. That's just me. I know, that's rare. I understand that's rare. I'm just saying I could.
No. You, okay. All right. No. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
If you need help, call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Drew took a solo silent whiz, did a little soul searching, came back and realized the Ace Man was right. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191, thrice in studio tonight. Going to be playing the outdoor stage, thank you very much, at the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show, or JKL.
Unless there's lightning.
Oh, yeah.
So we're hoping there's not.
That could
lightning.
Be cool.
No, they'll
cancel it.
They'll move us inside.
It's rain. Yeah, rain.
They'll move us.
Big
they'll
metal
down,
spires.
They'll downgrade us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Eesh.
I think the storm is passing, so I hear. Yes?
Supposedly.
All right.
The bad stuff.
Robert?
Yes.
23?
Bob Bunsen.
Yeah, Bob what's
Bunsen?
Going on, guys?
Hello.
What's happening?
Nothing much. Actually, I have a question for Thrice.
All right.
Shoot.
I was just kind of curious to, I was wondering what involved your ideas with the new album Visu that you guys didn't get to do on the older albums, like Identity Crisis or Ars and Ambulance, things like that.
We had a lot of time to write this one. We kind of just said we were going to not let anything push us around scheduling stuff. So we were at home writing for 9 months or so and writing on the road before that. And there's a lot of different instrumentation, a lot of keys, piano, Rhodes, organ, synths. So it helped us create a lot of different moods and soundscapes, I guess. And I don't know. It's much better than the previous records in our estimation.
Robert?
Yes.
You going to get it tomorrow?
I sure am.
All right. Have you downloaded any songs yet?
I heard two songs on MySpace, and I'm really, really, really enjoying them. Like, I've been a big fan of your guys' music for quite some time now. My first show was, I saw you guys at Calvary Chapel in Downey.
That was a long time ago, man.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys...
6 years ago.
You guys have continuously just been blowing my mind, man. Your guys' music is awesome. And, like, when Illusion of Safety came out, like, I listened to it almost every day, and I never got sick of it. And, like, to this day, I'll still play it, like, a couple times a week.
Whoa.
Thanks,
cool,
for,
man. Thanks
for sticking with us, man.
No
How's
problem.
Everything else going, Robert? You working?
Yeah, I'm actually working in their hometown of Irvine, actually. And I work pretty, I do a pretty good job. I can't say where I work at. It pretty much involves selling phones, so.
All right.
So you can't mention Verizon.
Can't say where you work at is either a real good thing or a real bad thing. It's a good, you know, high-ranking government official, or you just work some porn shop and your scary dad might be listening.
There you go.
You're going to go with the latter or the former?
So. Yeah, I think the porn shop.
All right. Let's talk to Erica.
Who's been on hold for
82 minutes.
Yes.
Well, maybe she wouldn't talk so much. Erica?
Yes.
19?
Ooh, Erica. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Are you small?
What
no.
Uh oh. You got? Did you get molested?
Yes.
Kind of. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a long story.
Well, something bad happened. So anyway, what's your question?
How do you know something bad happened?
I can feel it.
Yeah, I can too. It's that little voice.
Yeah.
What happened to you? Nah, it doesn't matter. Your voice is 3'11".
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, like, I was really, really little, and I didn't really remember it. And then, like, when I became sexually active with my boyfriend, it was just, like,
flashbacks.
Was, like, what?
You had flashbacks.
Yeah, I was just like, whoa, you know, like, because basically what it was is, like, basically, like, I had dry humping or whatever. And, like,
who are you dry humping?
Well, like, that's just, like, someone who I trusted when I was older, like, made me do that when I was really little, and I didn't know it was bad at the time, you know. I didn't know, like, what was going on, you know.
Who made you dry hump?
My grandpa.
That's weird.
Like, he babysit me, and he'd say that, like, he said, like, we were playing horse or whatever.
Yeah, boy.
And then when I got older and started, like, becoming sexually active with my boyfriend, and then me and my boyfriend broke up for a little bit, and then I started talking to one of my friends, and then, like, it all just, like, I was like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
Like, is that really what my grandpa was doing?
Come here and give me a hug!
Where's grandpa now?
He lives, like, in a different town than me. Like, I moved away from my family.
That kind of puts a fine point on it, huh?
He lives in a different town than you. All right, well, I've pinpointed him here on my map of the United States.
I can see it.
Yeah, the guy's address. We're going to send a strike force team in there right now.
Fence there. Oh, look at this house.
They just phoned in. They're outside the house. He lives in a different town than you.
Blue tile. See, blue tile for some reason.
All right.
He lives in a different state than me.
All right. You know, you're free to say that state, you know.
No, that's okay.
All right. Is he in Florida?
No.
Mm-hmm. New Mexico.
Yeah. Okay. So he dry humped you.
Well, like I don't really remember. I just remember, like, going in, like, and I'd wake him up after my parents dropped me off, and like he'd say, like, you know how, like,
you'd wake him up.
I'd wake him up and tell him that I was there.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then, like, you know how normal grandpas would be, like, how they used to bounce little kids on their knees or whatever. And play horse. Well, instead he'd have me, like, sit on his lap.
Ooh.
And I didn't realize that it was bad when I was...
Well, there. I'm also trying to figure out... You sound like someone who's been molested, so I believe it. But I'm also wondering, was this guy really doing that? Or were you just sort of interpreting it this way?
That's what I don't know. Is, like,
Whose parent is he?
My mom's. But
your mom's.
The only reason why, like, I started thinking about it was because I used to babysit my cousin, and when she, like, I babysit her on the weekdays, like, in the summertime when I was in junior high.
Yeah.
And then she'd go to my grandpa's on the weekends.
Uh-oh.
And when she came home and I'd change her diaper, she'd be really, really, really red down.
And then
I asked my aunt. And then, like, I've also heard stories from my other cousins that my grandpa has done stuff to them.
Right. Good enough. Here's the thing. If, please... Fellas, if this is the road you want to go down with your infant cousins or nieces or granddaughters or whatever, have the dignity to just put a bullet in your head, would you?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we don't... Hold on a second. We don't talk about suicide as a glorified death so much anymore. The Japanese culture understands it well. If you brought shame to yourself or you're going to bring shame to yourself, put a bullet in your head. It's a much better way to go. And then... Not only do your grandkids get spared your amorous knee, but you do not have to walk around for the rest of your life with the knowledge of knowing that you essentially attempted to have sex with, your 14-month-old niece or grand, whatever.
How about
whatever.
All the moms bringing the kids back around, farming them out?
Awesome.
Can you imagine that?
Awesome. Yeah.
It's so crazy the way humans are.
I'm just saying, just please, there's not enough guys, you know. Here's the thing, here's who is who's committing suicide. You know, some student who got a B on their chem lab at UCLA, they jump off the bell tower. Then there's the guy who, you know, there's the captain of the ship who ran it into something and spilled a bunch of oil, and he's going to kill himself. There's the dad who's been laid off. There's the frustrated teenager who thinks no one will listen. That person. What about all the pedophiles that should be killing themselves? 65-year-old guy.
Let's work on that.
Let's just see if you can kill yourself.
See, but it's the kind of thing where you, like, they're not getting it in the first place, I don't think.
They're not understanding what they're doing, you mean? That they're hurting people?
I get, I mean.
Oh, no, they get it.
But, like, why?
Well, they, on some level, they get it. They also use the Michael Jackson defense a lot, which I love the kid. They love me. We just, oh, I just suck.
Yeah.
Just so lovey-dovey with them. And, well, you know, we get a little stimulated, but.
What I'm saying, though, dude, that you think they feel, like, major shame later about it?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Well, it's that weird thing. Like, well, if they know they're doing wrong, why do they do it? But I think you can almost make that argument for anyone who does anything, heroin or whatever. They know what they're doing is not right. But on the other hand, they're compelled to do it. I'm saying if you're compelled to do it, just kill yourself. It's great. It's great for the family. It's the greatest gift you can give to the family, really, is suicide. If you're going to do damage. It's considered a mitzvah. That's half of Drew's people would say. All right, let's take a little break. Thrice in Studio 9. We'll be right back after this.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Yeah. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Thrice in Studio tonight. Going to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Weather permitting, going to be on the outdoor stage tomorrow night. We should hear a little something else off the new CD, Visu. And queued up there. Mm-hmm. This one's called Red Sky.
Conspiring with the rain.
Yeah, Thrice, everybody. Bisou, name of the new CD, coming out in 6.5 minutes. Just real quick, Arlen over here has been on hold for 73 minutes. He wants to know the band's favorite song on the CD. So, Arlen?
Sleeping?
Yeah,
he's from Irvine, too. From your home territory.
Favorite song on the CD, what do you think?
I like that one.
All right.
A song
Red
called
Sky?
Atlantic.
All right. If only Arlen was awake to enjoy to enjoy that. All right. Derek?
Yeah.
God bless you for naming it. Almost every band you have in here is like, well, it's, you know, they're all so different.
They're like your children.
Name the song.
So hard to choose.
So hard,
bro.
You know, they had different
Sophie's
meanings.
Choice.
I was in a different head when I wrote each one of them, man. I know. Name your favorite. We tried to get a band. I don't know who it was. It was a blowhard from, was it Stained or something like that?
I think
It was like, listen, just name a song. Name one. I just can't. Like, what do you think you're going to do, by the way? Be haunted by this? Like, what, 6 months later, you're on a morning radio show and you name a different song and you get deluged with emails. You said this was your favorite song. Well, how many favorite songs do you have, Mr. Benedict, favorite song, Arnold? Just spit it out,
you
blowhards. That whole thing where people don't answer, they don't realize how blowhardy that is. You know,
it's like, they're all so good, man.
I couldn't tell you, yeah. These are the same a-holes that have an idea for a movie or sitcom or something. You're like, oh, what is it? And they're like, I can't really talk about it. I said, don't bring it up, then, ass. Idiots. You bring it up, then you go, oh, all right, tell it. Like, I don't think I should talk about it. Okay,
it take me way too long.
By the way, you're talking about it when you bring it up.
Right.
I'm only asking. I'm not because I'm interested in your crappy sitcom idea. I'm just trying to be polite because you brought it up. Thank you. Wow. A lot of venom
heavy,
in me.
Heavy.
Take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
It, everyone. Go out and get the Bisou album from Thrice. Out. Well, it's been out for a whole minute now.
Oh, yeah.
Probably sold
nice.
Out. The band's going to be over on Sunset at the Tower and Sunset signing at 10 o'clock. And going to be on JKL tomorrow night playing that rocking the outdoor stage. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Always a good time with Thrice. And we'll take a 22-hour break. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.